I'd like to welcome everyone to the Florence Weinberg Show. Frank McKay here, and the talk of the country, all over the country, all over the world, actually, is what's going on in Texas. And Texas is I think, a recipient of the effects of climate change. And if you don't believe me, boy, just turn on any news program, turn on anything, Google it, and you'll see what I mean. This is Texas. This is the state of Texas. This is unheard of. And, you know, I know people joke around or anti climate change people say, oh, how about that global warming? No, it's climate change. It's climate change. And that's the proper term. And again, Dr. Florence Byam Weinberg is our host each and every week. She's the subject of a documentary that'll soon be upon us. And she's the author of 15 books. Dr. Weinberg, how are you?
Well, fortunately, I haven't frozen to death. I'm still here.
Well, I'd like to say you owe it all to Senator Cruz, but to call him a heroic figure in this would be a bit of a stretch.
No, it's no thanks to Senator Cruz that I'm still here. That's true. I would like to let the listeners know something from an eyewitness point of view. And I'm the one to do it because here I am in San Antonio, right in the middle of Texas, a little south of middle. But we went down to 9 degrees and stayed at, I think, our high that day, that was Monday. It went down over Sunday night to 9 in the middle of the night and then stayed around 11 degrees Fahrenheit until Tuesday. I'll give you a blow-by-blow. First of all, I want everybody to know that I spent 28 years in Rochester, New York, so I know how to handle cold weather. But so does Rochester, and so does the entire northern tier of the country, right straight across the country. They all know how to behave in cold weather. But Texas typically only has maybe 1 week of freezing weather in wintertime, and everybody just covers their plants with a sheet, their tender plants in the garden with sheet, foundation plantings and so on, and it works. So long as the frost doesn't actually touch the plant, they survive. And so everybody covered their plants with sheets. And, of course, that didn't do any good at all at 8 degrees Fahrenheit.
My God.
What I did was to wrap my four water faucets. I have four water faucets of each of the corners of my ranch house. And I wrapped all four with a bath towel and tied it on in place so that the wind, which, of course, would whip up and bring the temperature down as far as wind chill went to minus 10 or so. Anyway, I wrapped those all up in anticipation of burst pipes if I didn't do it. Other people didn't know about that, and they didn't, and so their pipes burst. We've had all kinds of things. We've had floods of water or gushing out and freezing when it got a little ways from the door, and ceilings collapsing because a pipe burst above the ceiling somewhere in another room, a bathroom or so, all kinds of horrors. And actually people dying of hypothermia, in other words, freezing to death, which is really a very sad thing. And, you might say, what's this? This is disproving global warming. But global warming is only one aspect of climate change, as Frank was just saying. It's climate extremes that we're having. Hurricanes and tsunamis and all sorts of things that we normally hear. And naturally, tornadoes are very prevalent nowadays, far more than they were, say, 20 years ago. And all of this caused by a climate imbalance that is really, pardon me, is being extremely destructive. And the sea is rising because of the melting of the ice caps, the polar ice caps. And so New York City may be underwater before long. Who knows if we don't do something about it. But anyway, my own experience, let's get down to that. So I thought I was prepared. And last Sunday, which was the 14th, that was when this cold wave made it all the way from mid-Canada, actually from the Arctic, all the way down to Texas. And it came in with a nice stiff breeze into San Antonio. And I remained warm and dry, and the lights were on. Everything was fine. So I went to bed Sunday. Everything was fine. Got up Monday. Everything was fine still. Other people were already having their lights and power turned off, but not me. We have a private power company, CPS, which is City Public Service, which owns a couple of coal-burning power plants, which we would love to get rid of but haven't, a lot of windmills, and a lot of solar farms, every day more solar farms, thank goodness. CPS is doing its best to transition to clean power, but still has a couple of these coal-powered plants.
Right.
Anyway, we are not hooked up to the biggest power company in Texas, which is very fortunate because we have done marginally better. Anyway, so all day Monday, I kept congratulating myself because I still had everything. I had warmth and light and water, and everything was cool. And anyway, I went to the store and bought what I needed. And anyway, that night I went to bed. I have a nice eiderdown comforter, king size comforter on the bed, so I snuggled under that and didn't notice that anything was wrong until the alarm went off. Actually, the alarm did not go off in the morning, as it should have. But I woke up at the usual time, threw back the covers, and lo and behold, the room was 60 degrees instead of somewhere in the 70s. And I realized, because the digital clock was black, that the power had gone off sometime during the night. Now, I have a feral cat outside, and I had a heater out there because the temperature out there was extremely cold, and I knew that she'd freeze to death. So I had a heater out there for her. My tropical plants were up against the house with a plant blanket around them, and the kitty was sheltering in among those plants, and the little heater was out there, too, among the plants, to keep them warmer than freezing, I hoped. Anyhow, so I knew that the plants and the cat might be dead because the heat had gone out, the power was out.
Yeah.
So I got up, and the first thing I did, of course, got up, got dressed, and first thing I did was to feed the animals. And my two cats, were they were telling me that they were cold. And it was 60 degrees, and they were saying, "Hey, Mom, you've let the temperature go low here. Yeah. What's the matter?"
Wow.
Get on the stick there, Mom. And, of course, the outside kitty, the feral cat, was at the patio door complaining bitterly, but still alive,
wow,
unlike the plants.
Yeah. Wow.
So I ate cold cereal for breakfast instead of my usual warm egg and toast breakfast. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm getting pretty chilly. I think I'll just wrap in my eiderdown comforter and try to think of something to do. I still had water, not hot water. I did have some hot water left in the tank, but I didn't use it because it would soon cool off, obviously, since there was no power.
Yeah.
And but the water was running. So anyway, so I wrapped up in the eider blanket, and I was realizing I have a fireplace, but I have no wood for it. Didn't think of that when I was buying things ahead of time, so I wouldn't die of hunger, and my cats wouldn't. So I wrapped up in the blanket, and I was dozing when somebody rapped on the door. And I went to the door, and it was my trainer at the gym's husband. My trainer's name is Bobby Rader, and her husband is Alan Rader. And Alan is a man for all seasons. He is, I'd say he's a construction worker. I mean, he makes his living, he's working for someone else. And he does things like install solar panels, repair air conditioning and heating.
You see, I can't do anything like that. I can't put a hammer to nails, so I'm in awe when you tell me he can do all those things. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, he knows everything. He has installed solar panels on his own property. He owns about an acre, I would say, a home with an acre of property around it, and part of that is devoted to solar power that he has constructed himself. He has a large tank which has collected the water from the roof of his house, which is full of water. He's also a carpenter and a cabinet maker. The house is full of beautiful furniture that he has made, absolutely professional quality furniture and unique at that. So there's not much he can't do. Anyway, he came to my door and wanted to know if I was all right. And I said, well, yeah, except that I'm without power. And he said, okay, I'm working all day, but I'll come back for you in the afternoon. And sure enough, at 5 o'clock, he turned up. And by that time, it was down to 40 in the house. It was really quite uncomfortable. And he said, all right, I see that you've got everything packed up, you and the cats. I got into his pickup, and the cats in their carriers were also stowed inside the pickup, and off we went to his home, where we spent the rest of the afternoon and evening in lively conversation, non-political, by the way, because they're very right-wing.
Right, which you are not, as people listening to the show know.
And they know that, so at least Bobby knows it because she's my trainer, and I don't make any secret of how I think about things. And no politics, but we could talk about everything else, and did. We saw a movie, she produced a magnificent dinner, and so we enjoyed food, and they had power. They had water and hot water, and it turns out that Alan had bought a generator just before the cold wave hit, thinking that it would come in handy when the power would go out, he predicted, and of course it did. So we were comfortable. The cats were confined to my bedroom, the bedroom that was lent to me for the duration. And one of the cats, the male cat, is the shy and sensitive one. He went under the bed and stayed there the entire time, never came out. The female cat was out adventuring around, climbing over all the furniture, inspecting everything, looking out the window. So everybody was happy. The following day, which was Wednesday, we figured that the power must be back on by now. Okay, so this was called a rolling blackout, by the way.
Yeah.
And supposedly, an 8-hour interval of blackout was the limit. Well, we packed up everything and went back to my place, and no, there was absolutely no power at all, no heat. The house was down to 35. And I fed the wild cat, and we just trundled back over to the Raider home, and I stayed the extra night. I stayed over Wednesday to Thursday. And it was snowing. So not only was the temperature way down, not only was there ice everywhere there had been any precipitation or flooding from broken mains, that now there was snow on top of that. And we got probably about 4 inches all told in San Antonio, which is, again, a total.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. It happens every 40 years or so. Well, this was the end of the 40-year stretch. The kids were out. There, of course, there was no school, so the kids were out sliding down the hill, having a great time.
Yeah.
But the adults were not having such a good time. Anyway, so we tried again. Actually, Alan went over by himself in that pickup. He tried the first time, but because of the snow and the ice under the snow, he couldn't make it up. The closest hill was impossible to get up because nobody has snow tires or chains. So he came back. He didn't know whether there was power on or not. Later on in the day, it had warmed up some, and that hill was climbable with the pickup, and so he made it all the way to my home and saw that the lawn light, the yard light, was on, and realized that meant that we had power. So we moved back, the two cats and I, at the end of that day. So that was yesterday. Thursday. So power has been on. Everything seems normal. But of course, we're all waiting for it to break down again, because the power plants, the power lines, if anything breaks, then the whole thing will break down again, because Texas is simply, the power grid is simply not built sturdily enough to withstand this kind of weather. And we had a severe cold spell back in 2010, at around the time of the Super Bowl. And at that time, the recommendation was that the power grid should be weatherproofed. And, of course, Texas ignored that. That is, our government ignored that. And so we can blame our governor for not following recommendations. I suppose he just thought, why waste money when Texas never gets that cold, or rarely gets that cold?
Yeah.
Well. Unfortunately, Texas does get that cold, and probably will do so again.
You have to be prepared. Look, I know a lot of people want to give him a pass because, well, you know, who to expect is it's an act of God. No, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for the worst. Let me just remind folks, Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, you're listening to the Florence Weinberg Show, and she has survived, and we all thank Bobby and Alan for their efforts there. What a yeoman's job they did on making sure that their friends were who were in need were safe. And just, hey, absolutely terrific, and God bless them. They're just a wonderful, wonderful job by them. Doc, let me ask you just a quick question. When I spoke to you, your car was in the garage, and
yes, right.
And you couldn't open it, right? And again, you're 87 years old, right? You usually use an automatic garage door opener. Mm-hmm. Do you consider at this point, like if you're expecting more weather, would you consider leaving the car outside and maybe towards the end of the driveway?
No, thanks to Bobby. Actually, I've always been pretty strong. I was 6 feet tall in my youth. I've shrunk in my old age.
How tall are you now?
I'm still very strong, and she sees to it as my trainer that that I maintain that strength. Anyway, I simply disconnected the electrical lift there. There's an arm that you can disconnect. And I just lifted the garage door myself and backed the car out. That was the first day when the cold front was coming in, and I went to the store and bought what I figured would be necessary to keep keep us and the kitties going with food and with paper towels and toilet paper and all the rest of those things that people buy. Excuse me. And then, of course, put the car back in the garage and close the door. So and this morning, I lifted the door again to see if there was a newspaper, because the news delivery has... Hang on, let me get...
Yeah, please. While you're doing that, and again, during a time like this, you want to answer your phones. You never know who it could be.
Not going to stop here.
It could be a neighbor, it could be a friend, right?
No, does it says scam likely. So.
Scam likely. Can you imagine? That's a shameless situation. If that's a scam likely during this time to call a Texas number, you really have to have no conscience whatsoever. I mean, for all they know,
They've invented all sorts of things. Telling you that... the electrical company is coming to cut off your electricity because you haven't paid this special fee that they, you know, that sort of thing. That there's a judgment against you for some that you haven't cleaned your driveway or something.
Yeah,
they're very inventive. How to milk people in an emergency like this?
Terrible. Just terrible. Hey, let me ask you something, Doc, and we'll get back to the weather in a second. Another part of the ecological situation that we deal with, and you mentioned to me off air, and it's something close to my heart and your heart, and the wildlife, and specifically the sea life, and the idea that the sea turtles are so vulnerable is very disconcerting and should be. And I know this is a subject that you and I have spoken about way long time ago in the past. Any new thoughts on our sea turtle situation?
Oh, yes. Before I go into the sea turtle situation, though, I simply wanted to and forgot to emphasize the fact that the Raider family... The Raider couple are behaving in a true Christian way. This is the way people ought to behave to their
Wonderful.
Neighbors.
Yes.
Even though they may be opposites in politics. And there's all this hatred abroad in the country between the different political positions, the right and the left. These people are extreme right. They couldn't get more so. He's an evangelical preacher when he's not helping people get heat and light and that sort of thing. But he is helping people get heat and light. And in this case, in my case, I was this poor old widow woman who had no family. And they knew me. They knew that. that. They were not close friends. They're friends, friendly, but not close. But anyway, they rescued me.
What a wonderful act. Christian,
yes,
that's Christian charity.
I would be in dire straits if it hadn't been for the Raiders. So I just want people to know that they are behaving the way we all should behave. We should look around, and if our neighbor needs some help, we should give it.
You know, what would Jesus do? Well, exactly what the Raiders did.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wonderful.
So anyway, about the turtles. The sea turtle, they migrate huge distances in the ocean. They don't stay in the Gulf necessarily. They go all the way out into the Atlantic, and then they come back to the place where they were born in order to spawn. And one of their favorite places is along the southern Gulf Coast of Texas, and the northern Gulf Coast of Mexico, or I suppose all along the coast of Mexico. But in any case, South Padre Island is one of their very favorite places to lay their eggs. And what has happened to them? The weather, the sea, has, because of the weather, obviously, has gotten so cold that they cannot remain conscious. They are reptiles, and the circulation of their blood depends on maintaining a certain warmth. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And if it gets too cold, they simply go into a comatose state, and they cease all bodily functions. They don't die necessarily, but in fact, they don't, except when they are when they're floating helpless like that. They don't lift their heads and breathe. They're air-breathing creatures, and they drown. And the Animal Protection Agency on South Padre Island has been collecting stunned sea turtles, and they have collected about 5,000 stunned sea turtles at this point.
Jeez.
And probably the people of South Padre Island are patrolling the shores, and when they see a sea turtle floating helpless, they reel him in, get him back, and get him to the shore, and take him to this animal protection center where they're warming them up very slowly. Mm. Unfortunately, they're out of power also, so they have no heat.
Wow.
But at least they can keep them in a dry place. They have run out of space. Their own center, they said, had sea turtles in the hall, in the bathrooms, in the dining room, every place. So they can barely walk. And they've commandeered the civic center. And the civic center is now full of turtles as well.
How many? Is there an idea of a population?
There's 5,000.
Oh, 5,000. Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine?
Wow.
And these are big, big characters, you know. They're
giants.
Maybe 4 feet across or something. And or at least 4 feet, the shells are from front to back, maybe 4 feet. But anyhow, they are warming up because they're inside and they're dry. But I can just imagine what the chaos is going to happen when they start moving. 5,000 sea turtles. Suddenly decide they're going to get up and lead.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Crawling over each other, knocking things down. Anyway, that is the situation on South Padre Island because of this cold front. And thank God that human beings, for once, are doing something good for their environment instead of messing it up. Without human intervention, we would lose a huge amount of the number of the species, and it's an endangered species.
Yeah, and you know what? One of the issues, I just want to interject this, and again, you're listening to the Florence Weinberg Show, Frank McKay here with Dr. Florence Weinberg. The plastic bag situation is a real serious situation, and it has a real effect on the sea turtles. The plastic bag, when discarded and littered, that ends up in the ocean, and many millions and millions of these things do. They look an awful lot like jellyfish, and especially to the sea turtles. And that's what sea turtles feast on, are jellyfish. And they don't digest the way jellyfish, jellyfish naturally go through their system very easily. The paper bags don't, and they don't make it all the way through. And it catches other food there, and it ultimately gets clogged up in its intestines and kills them. The plastic bag situation is life and death for sea turtles. If we could trust people not to litter, then it wouldn't be a problem. But it is. So I'm in favor of getting rid of plastic bags when not needed. When possible.
Well, it's even worse than you imagine, because for the longest time we were told that we could recycle plastic bags, to put them in a larger bag, compact them into a sort of football size and compact mass, tie them tightly, self-tie, and then you could put them in with your recycling. Well, unfortunately, they do not get recycled. They are put on barges along with a lot of other plastic refuse and sailed out to the middle of the ocean and dumped. So there are billions and billions of recycled plastic bags in the ocean, too. And you're absolutely right. These things are deadly for anything that ingests them.
Yeah.
And the sea turtles happen to do that. If they even can get them down their throats in the first place, they'll certainly clog up their digestive system at one juncture or another. And they will die. You know.
Yeah.
We're killing every living thing. And I was just reading that in Australia and New Zealand, they still have old-growth forests, and they are especially in Australia, they have a very right-wing government there that does not believe in global warming
climate change
at all, and so they are allowing clear-cutting of the old growth forests, the remaining old growth forests in Australia. And so, of course, that's killing off the animals that depend on the old growth forests. So the unique animals in Australia are becoming endangered. And we need the forests there. Trees are one of the best ways of cleaning up the air and of carbon dioxide. And they're decimating those forests, just as Brazil is decimating the jungles down there. So we humans are just a menace. There are too many of us, and greed. I actually think the devil's sin is not pride; it's greed. If you are grabbing everything and using it for your own good, you're going to be destroying everything else and everybody else's property and livelihood, and that's just what's happened.
Yeah, just listen, well said, and it certainly is a big concern. Before we go, can you give us I don't like to say the word prediction, but what's next for Texas? You are all over the news. It's a disaster. It's turned into an embarrassment for Senator Cruz. One of your senators certainly didn't make himself look noble, you know, even though he threw his children under the bus and wanted to, you know, come up with an excuse. I guess when all else fails, blame the kids. I don't know. Is that? But anyway, that being said, what is next for Texas? You know, it's something you'll get through, of course. And obviously, we're looking forward to warmer weather as it goes. But what do you predict for the next week or so?
Just the next week. Well, I think they'll think about them. Think about reinforcing the grid so that it isn't quite so vulnerable to cold weather. I don't know if they'll actually do anything about it. In the long run, I think Texas is going to turn purple. So people who have some environmental conscience will win elections. And so we may have some Democratic senators out of Texas and perhaps a Democratic legislature. That would really be something new and different.
And unheard of a couple years ago.
Governor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and since Johnson, we haven't had a Democrat. No, that's not true. No, I'm wrong. We've had Democrats since then, but it's been a long time since we've had any Democrats in power in Texas. So I think in the long run, that's going to happen because there's been so much error and misrule in this state.
Well, listen. It sounds cliche, but our thoughts and prayers are with you, and thank God for the Raiders. How about that? When was the last time that phrase was said? The Raiders, you know, usually has a negative connotation. These Raiders are terrific, Christian charity, and just wonderful. Bobby and Alan Raider, just God bless you guys. Wonderful, and listen, Doc, stay safe. And to all your friends and neighbors as well, I think the nation's eyes and thoughts and prayers are with you guys. It's a terrible situation there in Texas. And
well, I know really we'll appreciate your good wishes and sentiment, and I thank you very much. And hope that things come, that it warms up, and all will be well in Texas in a few days.
Well. Thank you and stay safe. And to everyone out there, we know you have a lot of choices and a lot of options, but please feel free to binge listen to everything we've been doing here. You just got an eyewitness account of what's going on in Texas. And again, just our thoughts go out to all those who aren't as fortunate as Doc. And you know, there are folks who've lost their lives, and there are folks that are struggling and maybe fighting for their lives now. We got to keep an eye on each other, and hopefully everything will warm up there real quick. Frank McKay signing off. You've been listening to the Dr. Florence Weinberg Show, and we'll see you next time on the Florence Weinberg Show.